You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 9th of March. We may have just found out the value of offense, not the value of defense on our week-long quest. We'll update the playoff picture, get you ready for Memphis, talk about the new youth basketball initiative and PAC Friday, which will include a Jordan Kobe Bryant comparison on a great question from a listener. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Two things coming your direction right out of the chute. We'll look at the playoff picture. We'll update you on where things stand. Talk a little bit about last night's action, which was kind of awesome. And then we will. I have a cool little note I want to bring into the broadcast, and we'll talk about that youth issue that's been going on, and then PAC Friday. So kind of a fun. Very fun conversations today. So thanks very much. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you expertise, insight, a look behind the curtains, and hopefully a little fun and a lot of geeky numbers today. All right, let's update the playoff picture. This is what we do. This is the playoff prediction every single day. What happened last night? What's coming up today? Last night, Steph Curry got hurt, which has a huge impact on things. The Warriors held on to beat the Spurs last night. Spurs barely, because Kevin Durant was incredible. That was a 21% winning chance for the Spurs, so that was not a big surprise. The Spurs now in their unlikely games, which they had seven of, go to 1-1. We've broken this into five sections. Certain wins are 80 to 100%, according to 538's win probability. Should wins are 60 to 80. Pick'ems are 40 to 60. Unlikelies are 20 to 40, and no chances are 0 to 20. Elsewhere last night, in the other games last night, Boston beat Minnesota. Minnesota had a 67 win percentage on that one. So that's their first kind of loss. That's a big loss for them. Oklahoma City played last night against Phoenix. They had a 91% win probability on that one, and they got that win. So Oklahoma City goes to 2-0 in their certain wins. Thing about Oklahoma City is while they are flawed, they do seem to have enough athleticism and skill that they don't lose games in which they're heavily favored. You don't see them. They sneak by these games. They don't do it elegantly. But they're 2-0 in the games which are certain wins, and they're 2-0 in the should wins so far. And that's kind of keeping them. They're going to have to. Oklahoma City, Portland, Clippers would have to start losing some games that they should win for them to be in any type of playoff danger. Clippers are the interesting one. They have 12 should-win games, 11 of them left, and we'll see what they do. Tonight, we have Denver playing the Lakers with an 80% win probability. Portland playing Golden State. Portland has a 55% win probability and no Steph Curry, and they might sit other guys for all you know. New Orleans has Washington and New Orleans has a 63% win probability. And the Clippers play Cleveland with a 65% win probability. And the weird one is we play Memphis with only a 68 win probability. Though everybody probably is in everybody except for the Blazers are in a should win category tonight. Since it's Friday, no, it's not. It's Friday, right? It's Friday because we're doing PAC Friday. I won't talk to you Saturday and Sunday. The rest of this week, here's the other matchups. Minnesota's got Golden State on a 51 win probability, and they won't have Steph Curry. San Antonio plays Oklahoma with a 29, and then obviously Oklahoma plays San Antonio with a 71. Sunday, Denver has Sacramento 89 win probability. So if Denver were to slip either of these two this week, it'd be huge news. And then Utah, New Orleans. New Orleans has the 57 win probability over the Jazz. If the Jazz could get that, it would be huge. And the Clippers play Orlando with an 85 win probability. So if the Clippers were to drop either of these two games, it would be huge news. So if Denver or LA slips this weekend, pretty big. If we slip against Memphis, pretty big. So we'll look at that All week long, I've been talking about the value of offense versus defense and these various different things and the value of Rudy. I think in the last two nights, if you've been watching the NBA, you might have got the answer to what the value of offense is. LeBron James and Kevin Durant just single-handedly picked up and willed their teams to wins. I think LeBron scored the final nine. Durant scored like 14 straight. You know, as great as Rudy is, he can't do that. That he cannot do. And that's where the offensive player may be more valuable than the defensive player. That's kind of the ongoing discussion all week. If Rudy's got the biggest, same impact on the offensive, is as good a player on the defensive end as Steph and James Harden and Kevin Durant and LeBron are on the other side, then is their impact equal? And I think that's those two sequences, as you kind of watch that, LeBron single-handedly brought the Cavaliers to a win over the Nuggets the other night. I mean, single-handedly. And then Durant willed the Warriors to that win last night. It was late night, but if you watched it, that was something fabulous. I mean, though, so there's the difference. And that's, you know, so how do we get that? Well, Donovan has to develop into it, and you have to, and then you go get the stop on the other side. But frankly, I'm not sure what Gobert can do. I'm not sure how Gobert stops either Durant or LeBron in the shots they were making either, right? Durant's value, or Gobert's value, is he's going to discombobulate your offensive sequence. You're not going to be able to get the ball where you want to. And then, except for the fact that when suddenly what they're doing is just pulling up on mid-range rise and fires, he's not having that same impact. So I thought that was eye-opening. Memphis, we kind of knew that intuitively. Memphis tonight, they have lost 15 straight. They're not totally terrible. They're the 20th-ranked defensive team. They're the 14th-ranked team in defensive effective field goal percentage. They're the 8th-best team at forcing turnovers. They struggle to score, but you know, it actually felt a little scary to me in the sense that when we play a team that doesn't defend, I feel better than we play a team that can't score. Because, frankly, we're liable to not being able to score. There have been nights this year where we just couldn't score. Memphis can get into you, evident statistically, defensively, at a way that maybe it turns out that, you know, you can't, that you don't score well enough, and then all of a sudden the fact that they can't score isn't as big a deal. Now, they really can't score. Okay, so their offensive rating is under 100 over the last 15, 20 games. They're the 30th ranked offensive team. But over the last five games, they're 16th defensively. They're 22nd over the last 15th, which is hard to do when you're that bad offensively. Marc Gasol is still playing. Jermichael Green and then a bunch of guys you've never heard of. So keep an eye. Jay Crowder, I think we talked about this yesterday, the Jay Crowder lineup with the Jazz starters is plus 30. I have a new man crush, by the way. I'm going to check his pack coming up here. But Bielitsa last night for Minnesota. Oh, boy, would he be good for us. And I don't even think he's being utilized at all in Minnesota. He is my new man crush, basketball man crush. I don't have a non-basketball man crush, but if you'd like me to, I could. I'm fine. Like, okay, I'm just kidding. But my new basketball man crush is Bielitsa. Guy shoots 44% from three. He shows an off his against us. He drove to the basket and went up Gobert's throat, chest in a way, into his body in a way that very few guys have ever been able to do. He's a pretty straight line driver, but they don't use him at all in the pick and roll. They don't use him at all in the pick and pop. Shooting 44.5% from three. He's big. I'd love him as a stretch four for us. They only play him 18 minutes a night. I think he should probably play 26. I'm a fan. I don't think he's having an outlier year. And the skill set looks really good. Can he defend at all? Would I guess be a question. He's 29, so he's not going to get – he shouldn't get a great deal better. He's not an elite athlete, but he's 6'10", 240. He's not a great rebounder, but again, he only plays 18 minutes a night. I think 61 effective field goal percentage. Now, maybe a little bit of an outlier. He's not at his 753s yet. He's at 430. He's at 37%. He went 38, 31, 44. He's like Rubio's best friend, too, if that does him any good. I think they're very close. His defensive rebounding percentage is a 20, which isn't terrible. I can't figure out anything wrong with him. Can't finish at the rim? No, he's not terrible, 54%. No, he's a great finisher at the rim. He's at 70%. Doesn't have a mid-range jumper. Okay, I don't care. I'm a fan. And he's to me, he's a stretch four. They've been playing with some three recently. It's a great trade by Minnesota. Traded Washington trade for Trevor Booker. He was a second-round pick. And I think I'm a little confused. I think he's a restricted free agent for next year. But I'd pay him. And Minnesota's got cap problems. I'm not sure they could. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Murdoch Hyundai, no regrets purchasing anytime you deal with the Murdochs. When you're dealing with the Murdochs, you're dealing with 5-day price return policy, price guarantee, car washes, and oil changes for life. That's the great part. You're dealing with Hyundai, you're dealing with 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance. And you just get so much value. And I haven't seen the Kona yet. The Hyundai Kona is their new smaller SUV. And there are no pictures on the website of it. About a $22,000 SUV. I was with Blake the other day. Says it's going to be great. Says it's the next car I get to drive. So I'm going to just drive my Sonata every single time I can so I can try. I'm on the quest to the Kona. Makes me feel like I'm going to Hawaii. They got 11 of them in stock. Go see what they're like. Tell me about them. They're supposed to be pretty sweet. The Ioniq, I drove that for a while. That's their hybrid. Super fun if you're going to drive a car and you do not automatically assume you're going to buy a Prius if you're getting a hybrid because that car was terrific. And the Santa Fe, those are fabulous. Loved the Santa Fe Sport. Driving the Sonata right now with the lane assist, all the technology bells and whistles, great setup. Love the fact, frankly, that when I get in the car, I stop listening to a podcast. And then I get back in the car, and it starts it right back up. It's all the great things at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. All right. I wanted to share this. I thought this was awesome. Let me see if I can find this. Oh, it's not back where I thought. I will find it very quickly. There will not be. This was a nice email I got. Hi, David. This is in regards to my thoughts on mental health the other day. I'm a very staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. We disagree on many political topics, but I don't think there's any reason for you to not share your thoughts on Locked On Jazz. I appreciate opposing viewpoints that you bring. That helps introduce me new thoughts, and I hope you can continue to do so, and we can continue to have civilized discussions to help further solutions on current issues. Thank you for your courage to speak in an era where people are supposed to hate each other for differing views, especially when you live in such a public life. I understand what a risk and beating you take for sharing your thoughts. I thought you should know there are people that don't mind that you bring up other topics on your show and actually look forward to your thoughts. By the way, that's from James Tolbo, T-O-L-B-O-E. Thank you. I got a bunch of nice things. You know what's interesting about that? My first reaction when I finished that one is he and I wouldn't disagree on that many political issues. We might... This is always what I feel. We might place our political issues in different level of importance, but just from his email and his reasonableness of communicating and his, I'm certain that when it gets right down, this is how I am with most of my friends. If we took 10 political issues, we actually agree on 9 of them. We just would slot what we think's important in different order. That's what I think's the biggest joke about this supposed divided America that we live in. I just don't believe it. I just don't fundamentally believe it. And I, you know, the whole Russian bot stories make you believe that maybe there is this conscious effort to divide us into these different things. I mean, there are certainly some people out there who, you know, I got it. We have different viewpoints on things. However, I really do believe that from, yeah, sure, I could be next to you and you could go to the ballot box and pull a different lever than I would every time. But I would guess that if we sat down and wrote down two things, if we were given 10 political issues, I bet you we'd get close if we just if we talked them out. And two, if we listed our own personal, it'd just be different what we thought was important. And I think that's the sadness of all this. There's been a story percolating around about youth basketball. And I actually have some pretty good knowledge of this. So I got to be a little non-transparent here because I don't want to reveal anyone. But so there are people that Adam Silver has kind of put on a task force to come up with an answer to what to do with youth basketball. And it was interesting for me because I know one of them. And so they asked a lot about what my son's doing. My son's a ski racer. And the model that the U.S. ski team is using is actually very similar to what you're going to see, I think, coming from the NBA, at least from the discussions I've heard. So what the ski world does is that my son races for his team that he's on. That could be a resort. It could be his happens to be embedded in the school. There are academies all across the country that do skiing. And then throughout the year, they leave their team to go to national development weeks. So he got to go to Copper Mountain in, I think it was October, November with the national development team. He's gotten lucky. He's had some success now, but he frankly got lucky before he got some placements and some teams off some results. And so he's gotten to be able to go to some of these cool events and be there with the top 15, 20 kids in the country in his age group. And so they take the top, you know, 15, 20 boys and girls, and they go put them together for a week and they train them, and then, but they all get to know each other. And then the ski team sees them and they talk to them about all sorts of different aspects. And then there's other things. And then there are like the best kids went to Europe in this, what's called the Seven Nations Race, where they as a group moved on. My son wasn't close to that. So he didn't actually go to that. Then you also decide, like, there was a camp in Vermont that didn't really work for school and other racing. And so he didn't go to that. That's, I think, what their NBA is talking about. The NBA does not want to get, from my understanding, involved in education at all. They don't want to have academies the way Europe does and where they're suddenly educating kids. But they would like to have early contact with the top kids. The other thing that happens in the ski world is they're broken into regions. So you race in the Intermountain Division, but then you might have a Western Region camp where all the top kids from the West go, and the Rocky Mountain has their camp of the top camp, and then the East Region has theirs. So there are these multiple different little levels by which you get invited to these things. And that's the model very much that I'm understanding that the NBA is interested in following. That what they'll do is they want to have contact and communication with these kids at an earlier stage. Now, there's a lot of other things going on. The idea that the Australian League is going to go pay you to play for a year and they're fine if you're a year one and done sounds great. I would do that way before I'd go to college. The fact that the NBA may open up G League to some, that's great. I would do that way before. I would never go, if I was one of these kids, I would never go to college. You're not really going to college. You're having your hours of practice limited on what's going to be your future earnings, which is just insane. And so I would never go to college if I were any of these kids. But that's the model from my understanding. That's probably a little bit more specific than what's been out there. And I hope I didn't kind of violate anyone else out there, but it's an interesting thing. They'll still play their high school. They'll still play their AAU, but they'll be certain periods of time where they leave to go to a week-long camp where former players will be there, you know, they'll probably warn them about agents or at least train them early to let them know about agents and all the various pitfalls and some life things and probably some drug education impact, all the things you want to be able to touch these guys with earlier at a younger age about the pitfalls that might be ahead of them on the way to their NBA journey. So that's I think it's really interesting. I think it's really smart. I think, frankly, the NBA would love to run the AAU program and get rid of AAU, but I don't think that they entirely can pull that off in any way. Today's show is brought to you in part by Intercap Lending. I had a good conversation with the guys over at Intercap yesterday. I appreciate the calls that have come in so far. So Intercap Lending is a lending company. They've been in the business for 40 years. They've moved to Utah. They can do some really cool things for you. So if you have multiple properties, bunch of business assets, you're self-employed, sometimes going to get a loan is tough. There's just a bunch of little different things. They can do direct loans and difficult loans with some real ease because of who they are. So they can help you out a great deal on those. If you're a veteran, they do a great deal of their work with veterans, get really good VA pricing. But their expertise is two things. Taking a loan that maybe you had a hard time with at the big bank and getting it through with their direct lending. And two is make the ease of it all. We used Intercap Lending for our most recent refinance. It was such a good experience because I'm a mess. I'm too busy to get anything done. If anyone's ever tried to get a call back from me, you know this. And yet trying to get a mortgage done would have been a disaster, except for the app was so great. I just took pictures of my thing. Steve Carter helped me through the process, and it was a wonderful experience. So if you're looking to get a mortgage right now, and you actually can, by the way, with the app, the Intercap Lending app, you can actually pre-qualify without talking to anyone, which is kind of a cool concept in this market where there's not a lot of houses out there. Steve Carter's available for you. You can give him a call, 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. InterCapLending.com, InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465 for more information. InterCapLending.com and call Steve Carter at 385-885-28. All right, let's do PAC. And then I'll get you. So our leading PAC player in the NBA has been Steph all season long, and I'd be very surprised if that changes. I think the top 10 guys could be pretty – the last 10 games guys could be pretty interesting. So Steph is at 4.7, so that's a huge injury, by the way. Durant is at 3.6, Harden 3.3, Karl Anthony Towns 2.9, LeBron 2.8, Anthony Davis 2.7. Well, that certainly matches what everybody thinks the top six players in the NBA are. Clint Capella, 2.1. Kyrie Irving, 2.1. Rudy Gobert, 2.0. So Rudy Gobert is the best defensive player in the league, and he's the eighth most positively impactful offensive, ninth most positively impactful offensive player as well. That's why the Jazz are winning. Dame Lillard is now 10 at 1.9. Giannis Antetokounmpo is tied at 10. DeAndre Jordan, and then Enes Kanter, Steven Adams, Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, Kevin Love, Montrezl Harrell, Jonas Valanciunas. It's interesting, guys, that like it all makes sense, except for there's these weird big guys in there, which means that the league still, when talking about offensive players, undervalues the dunk, which is the best play in the game. I mean, Steph, Durant, Harden, Karl-Anthony Towns, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, like that all vibes, right? Those are the best players in the game. So those other guys probably matter. All right, let's go to our players that are the bottom pack players of the league. Rayfon Mays, who plays for Memphis for two games, is the worst pack player in the league. He hasn't played a lot. Dennis Smith is now the worst, most heavily negative impacted offensive player in the league. Lonzo Ball, Chris Dunn. I saw Tony Jones talking about the other day about how good Chris Dunn is. He's not. Chris Dunn is he shoots 15% of his shots from three and 6% of his shots at the free throw line. He's not efficient at all. Josh Jackson in Phoenix, Juwan Evans in the Clippers, It's all rookies until you get to Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is having an awful season. He's a minus 1.9 pack. Nobody will. Carmelo Anthony minus 1.8. Avery Bradley minus 1.8. De'Aaron Fox minus 1.7. This tells you how good Donovan is because these are all rookies and they're all going to be fine. Marcus Smart minus 1.7. John Wall minus 1.7. Zach LaVine minus 1.7. Andrew Wiggins minus 1.7. Tyler Ulis minus 1.7 pack. Dennis Schroeder. Frank Ntilikina. Rookie. It's all there. D'Angelo Russell minus 1.5. Those guys. All right, let's go to top 10, bottom 10. Top 10 players in the NBA the last 10 games are... How's Rudy? Oh, there he is. Dame Lillard is the hottest player in the league right now at a 5.1 pack, carrying Portland on this win streak. Karl Anthony Towns is number 2. Kevin Durant is 3. Steph Curry is 4. Montrezl Harrell in Houston is 5. Nikola Jokic is 6. Anthony Davis, 7. Kyrie Irving, 8. Rudy Gobert, 9. James Harden, 10. Bojan Bogdanovic, who we saw the other night, is 11. Thomas Satoransky is 12. LeBron, 13. Otto Porter, 14. DeAndre Jordan, 15. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is hot, 16. Dirk Nowitzki at 17. That is incredible. Dirk's hitting 52% of his threes in the last 10 games. I love him. Julius Randle. Interesting. 20 points, 9 rebounds a game, 4 assists. Free agent. Someone's paying him. Doesn't shoot the three still. That's fine. Will, not really fine, but he's getting by with it. Will Barton, 2.3. DJ Augustine, Clay Thompson, Jeff Teague, Taj Gibson are all over too. Who's the coldest guy in the league? And then we'll do our Jazz. And then I'll come back and answer questions. I'm actually going to stop and go to coffee with Igor and then come back and answer questions. Coldest players in the league. Emmanuel Mudiay in New York is a minus 3.9. Dennis Smith, we mentioned, minus 3.2. Victor Oladipo, minus 3.2. Carmelo, minus 3. C.J. McCollum, minus 2.9. Did not know that. Tyler Dorsey in Atlanta, struggling. Zach LaVine, struggling in Chicago. Bryn Forbes in San Antonio, missed that. Ricky Rubio, minus 2.6 recently. Tyler Ulis, minus 2.5. Bruno Cabello has hardly played. Spencer Dinwiddie, struggling, minus 2.4. Taurean Prince, minus 2.3. Lauri Markkanen, minus 2.3. Jay Crowder, minus 2.2. Russell Westbrook, minus 2. All right, let's take a look at your Utah Jazz recently. In the last 10, and then we'll look at the season. Last 10 games, Rudy Gobert is your top 3.3. Derek Favors, 1.7. He's pretty valuable. Joe Ingles, 0.8. And everyone else is negative. Jarebko, minus 2. Burks, minus 0.7. Royce O'Neal, minus 1. Donovan Mitchell, minus 1.4. Neto, minus 1.6. Crowder, minus 2.2. Rubio, minus 2.6. It's interesting. A little surprised. Defense wins, at least for us. And for the season, Gobert is 2.0, Joe Ingles 1.1, Favors 0.7, Tabo 0.5, Jonas 0.2, Udo 0.2, Neto minus 0.1, O'Neal minus 0.1, Donovan minus 0.4, pretty good for a rookie. Jay Crowder minus 0.5 for, I can't tell if that is his whole season. Alec Burks, minus 0.5. Ricky Rubio, minus 1. All right, let's get to your questions. The first one that came in is a great one, which is Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan pack. Now, this will take me a second because I actually have, I can just search. I have a old pack that was built by one of our great listeners, and I can actually just search players by their name and find it, so it's kind of awesome. So, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant pack. My guess is that you're going to see a much better Michael Jordan will come out much better on this. This is the whole criticism of Kobe over his years. So, when you have Kobe wasn't as nearly as efficient a player as Michael. So here we go. So Kobe Bryant's best pack year was 2006-2007. He played 41 minutes a game that year. And his overall pack rating, pretty awesome, 3.7. He had a 3.5, another year 3.1, a 3.1. Kobe only had 3 years of negative pack. Those were 2013, all post-Achilles. So he was, I mean, he 28 years old was his peak. It's interesting on this is like when do players peak when we think about Donovan. His best pack years are 29, 22, 27, 24, 28. And actually, you peak a little earlier than I think people realize. His going to the free throw line 10 times a game just made sure that Kobe stayed completely positive. So 3.7, 3.5, 3.1, 3.1, 3.0, 6 years of higher than three, which is elite level, five other years of over two for Kobe. Maybe even a little better than I actually would have thought, frankly. Michael Jordan is pack best years are going to be his, again, similar, 21, 27, 24, 26, 25 years old. It's interesting, isn't it? That so we, and this is actually the work we did on this originally discovered this, was this same concept that players peak a little earlier than you think. So Kobe was had some threes and twos. Jordan is in the fives. 5-5, 5-5, 5-2, 3 years of five, which is where elite level like Steph. 1 year of four. 5 years of three pack. He only had 2 years of negative pack. And that one of those was in Washington, and one was kind of an outlier year. The year he came back from baseball, when he only played 17 games. He was not efficient the year he came back from baseball. So even his 39-year-old Washington year was actually a positive pack. So Jordan's superior to Kobe in regards to pack. Let me see what the other questions were that came in. MVP pack, rookie of the year pack was one of the questions. MVP, I mean, Steph and Durant are the two premier offensive players in the league. Steph is considerably better than any other offensive player in the league. And it's interesting that's not something that you're hearing. By the way, thanks to Stagner for the Jordan and the Kobe. Rookie of the year, Tatum has been that guy almost all year. It's hard to find rookies that are up, that are very positive. Tatum cooled off a little bit, but Tatum has had by far the best pack of any rookie. Donovan, you know, is just not that efficient yet, but he'll get there. That's part of being a rookie, is that almost no rookies are ever positive. Jason Tatum is a plus 0.7. I have a suspicion that what you really would like to know is what Ben Simmons is. Ben Simmons, I think, is going to come out terrifically because his true shooting percentage is pretty good. He's actually a negative 0.1 pack, a little surprised. Thought he would be positive. But the 0.93s, even if you're shooting 54%, if you never go to and you're only shooting 57% from the line, you never shoot a three, you become a little less. So Jason Tatum is the most efficient offensive player in pack. What is the team pack? I don't do team pack and I don't do lineup pack. There were a lot of questions that were team pack and lineup pack. So a variation off Joshua McCaffrey's question was, all right, so the injury impact so far this year. So let's go and look at Minnesota without Jimmy Butler. Now, I would tell you that, by the way, Bielitsa's pack I'm looking at right now is 0.6 since I've fallen in love with him. He only goes to the line 5% of the time, so there's the weakness on Bielitsa. Jimmy Butler's a 1.2 pack. That's pretty considerable, considering it means that there's more possessions going to Jamal Crawford, who's a negative 0.7 pack, and Andrew Wiggins, who's a 1.7 pack. So that's considerable. New Orleans without Anthony Davis, don't know how long that'll be, is incredible because Anthony Davis is a 2.7, which is elite. DeMarcus Cousins is a 1.2, which is great. And then they actually are fairly, they have a bunch of guys that are having great years. Drew Holiday's way, having an outlier year. Nikolai Mirotic is good at 1.1. Darius Miller is good. But they have also have a bunch of negative guys who might pick up more time. Though most of their negative guys don't play anymore. They've kind of narrowed that down to positive pack players. It's part of the reason they're on their winning streak. And Kawhi Leonard last year, if Kawhi Leonard comes back and is anywhere near what he was last year, then that's a game changer. Boy, San Antonio was good last night. Kawhi Leonard last year was a 2.4 pack. So those are, I mean, those are monumental. Those numbers you're losing there, and Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, if for any extended period of time, are monumental. It's also why losing Rudy Gobert actually was monumental. Like, Rudy's top 10 offensive player, impact player in the league, and number one defensive player. That's why you struggle without him. Great job today. Super questions. Thanks to Murdoch Hyundai as well as Intercap Lending. The Locked On NBA podcast with Kevin Arnovitz, I think, is a much must listen. Anthony and Adam did a nice job today as well on Locked On NBA. So why don't you say, okay, Google, play podcast Locked On NBA right now. Or you could say, Alexa, play pod. Oh, wait, Alexa's program. Alexa, play program Locked On NBA. Did I get him? Did I make him do it? All right, sorry about that. See ya.